So we've been going through Colossians, and I missed a couple weeks, and it is my understanding that Dan spent some time in the Old Testament talking about Jesus in the Old Testament during Sunday morning, which I appreciate because that is the topic of the section of Colossians that we're going through as well. If you want to go ahead and open up, we'll review the passage that we're looking at the moment. We're still in chapter 1. And let's start in 13, and we'll just read this section. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So Jesus is the Creator God. And that part I want to talk about. It's verse 16 and 17. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That section, I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. So now I thought I'd just start with a quick story. I've had a few dreams in my life, that sort of thing, that I think were inspired. Not very many, I could count them on one hand. But in one of them, I met Jesus, and it was kind of cool. And I didn't know it was Jesus until the very end of the dream. And during the end of this dream, there's this character that's been following me in this dream and interacting with me. And at the end of the dream, I had a big pile of stuff because I was traveling. I was going to get on a plane, and I had a fishing pole on top, and the line was all messed up, bundled up, full of knots. And I'm like, I'm in a hurry. I got to get going, and I'm trying to undo the knots in my fishing line, which of course is just about impossible when it's a big mess. And this character that's with me starts pulling on it, and it's tightening it up and making it worse. I'm like, stop, you're making it worse. And then he pushes on one side of the line, and the whole thing comes apart and unknots. And I was like, whoa, how did you do that? And he said, easy, I'm the maker of everything. And at that point, I realized this character that's been with me the whole time was Jesus. And I woke up, and I remembered my whole dream, which is rare for me. And all the things that happened during the dream, and this became very meaningful to me over the last decade. But Jesus is the maker of everything, and that's how he decided to explain who he was to me personally. So it's kind of a cool thing for me to get to talk about Jesus as the Creator and kind of what that means a little bit. I thought we'd start by going through a few verses in the New Testament that talk about Jesus as the Creator, just to kind of reinforce this idea. This is not just one scripture kind of pulled out and going, look, it says he's the Creator. It's mentioned in several places. Starting in John. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And then if you skip down to verse 10 as well, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This is how John chooses to introduce the idea of who Jesus is. All things came through being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being, and the world was made through him. Let's jump to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8, 6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we exist through him. Just a side note here, I've noticed this looking through some verses. I almost get the impression that, and I don't know, some people kind of get uncomfortable when you talk about the Father and Jesus almost as separate. Everybody has a different idea of how the Godhead functions. The Bible talks about them separate, so I like to talk about them separately. But I don't know how it all works together. And if you do, okay. All right. But it kind of feels almost as if I get the impression that Jesus is sort of the creative guy creating the earth, but the power and the source of all those things that Jesus uses is the Father. And that's just the impression that I personally get. And this is one of those verses where all things are from the Father. Yeah. Let's jump to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, right in the beginning, first three verses. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. And he had made when he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So here again we see through whom he made the world, Jesus. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. And one last one, Isaiah. Isaiah 44, verse 22. I'll give you a second to get there. 24, Isaiah 44, 24. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things. And there's that, how he introduced himself to me. I am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone. Now, there are verses that talk about the Father as the creator, and there are some verses that indicate the Spirit as creator. So when he says all alone, I don't know exactly what that means or if he's referring to him as the whole Godhead. But this is definitely the Redeemer talking, as it mentions right in the beginning, and Jesus is our Redeemer. So when he created all things, in Colossians, he says both heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. So it's not just the earth he created. There's some views out there that God kind of created the heavens, and I'm not talking about the earthly heavens like the air or the universe, but like the third heaven, right? There's this idea God created the earth heaven and then the third heaven, and then Jesus created the earth, but that is not the case. He both created the heavens and the earth. And just in case you're confused about what he means with heavens, he makes it very clear, visible and invisible. You know, it's one of those statements like, you know, 24/7 or when I'm awake or asleep. It encompasses all things. There's nothing that's not included in this thing. And then I think He kind of used that same play on word with thrones and dominions or rulers and authorities. We have all of those things on earth and we have all those things in heaven, but the way he uses it after visible and invisible almost gives the impression like thrones on earth and dominions, you know, those rulers that are above those things. And then he also says rulers and authorities. You know, you have rulers, kings or governors, but then also authorities, slightly more vague, right? The things in heaven that you don't fully understand. It's the impression I think he's trying to give, even though we have rulers and authorities on earth and in heaven. So all things, he's trying to say, are created by Jesus. So I thought I'd go into a little bit of what I feel is the heart of God in some of this. Because God didn't just create something the way an artist might create something. An artist does too. You pour your heart into something that you create. Thought we'd look at Genesis really quick. We're not really going to read the entire section here. I just want to point out a few things. Or one thing, really. God thinks his creation is good. The first time he mentions it in verse 4, God saw that the light was good. He created the light. Then again, end of verse 10, after he created the seas, and God saw that it was good. End of verse 12, God saw that it was good. End of verse 18, God saw that it was good. Also the end of 21, God saw that it was good. Same in 25. And then in verse 31, at the end on the sixth day, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God loves his creation, every part of it. And he takes pleasure in it, and he protects it, and he wants us to view it also as good. He wants us to view his creation as great, more so even than we would see a priceless piece of art. We look at something created by, who were my favorite artists. I like the Renaissance. I was into some of the drawings from Da Vinci or Michelangelo. I had a book and I would look through it and I'd be impressed by his stuff and some of his inventions and stuff. And we view those things as valuable. But Michelangelo, when you look up at night during the sky, at the sky, and you see the stars. Michelangelo did not spread out the heavens. He didn't do those things. Those mountain lakes, and I don't know what you like. I love mountain lakes. I go up to mountain lakes a lot, go fishing, spend time hunting or looking for mushrooms, or go climbing at the ocean on the rocks. The beauty that you see, that was created by God. And he took his time with it, and he enjoyed every bit of it. And when he was done, he said, it is good. He loves it. And along with that, he loves and cares about us. And he doesn't want us to be tore down. He cares about every single one of us deeply because he created us. And so this Jesus, we know that he died on the cross for our sin, and we spend a lot of time talking about that. But he didn't just die for you. He created you first. He created you, loved you, then died for you. So let's look at Colossians chapter 3 real quick. There's a verse there where he brings in a little bit about creation as well, actually. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And that is Jesus. Colossians 3, starting in verse 8. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He wants us to care for his creation and the people who he created and died for. This last week, I was on Wednesday, I was driving from Grants Pass, and I saw an accident on the side of the road. And turned out it was a motorcycle accident, and I heard that, I don't know if anybody here knows him, but Johnny Porter died. He was a neighbor of mine. He didn't currently live in my neighborhood, but he still owns a property there. My kids ran around with his kids in the neighborhood a bit. He got hit by a car, or a truck, I guess. And I drove by and I saw him laying there. I didn't know that he was dead. Maybe he wasn't dead yet, I don't know. But as I was driving up, before I saw him laying in the road, there was an ambulance there, and there was a man, probably the man who hit him, is my guess. I don't know that for sure. He was by the ambulance, and he was kind of doing one of those things, like, you know, like he wanted to do something, and there was nothing he could do. He's kind of been on my mind this last week. I've prayed for him. Imagine he accidentally killed one of the people for whom Christ died, and he's in that moment, and it's frustrating and scary, and it just occurred to me that he needs to know that Jesus loves him, that Jesus died for him. He is still precious, because his world right there completely fell apart. Just having seen his movements, it's just been almost haunting me for the last few days, that man's movement right there in that situation. And you know he's being accused right now. Some of it may be rightly so. I don't know what happened. I don't know what caused him to have this accident, if he was on drugs or looked at his phone or whatever it was. I just don't know the details. But he's being accused. And so are we all the time. Let's take a peek at Revelation. Revelations chapter 12, verse 10. Revelations 12, 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. God is not happy with Satan here, the accuser. Who accuses whom? Whom does he accuse? Our brethren. He accuses our brethren day and night. The devil wants to tear down what God has created and loved. God created you, and he said it is very good. And the devil wants to tear it down. Jesus died for us. All right, let's... one more on Jesus' heart. 2 Peter 3:9. It's talking about Jesus coming back. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any would perish, but for all to come to repentance. Just a last verse there to kind of round that out. Jesus wants all to come to repentance and for none to perish. All right. So I wanted to kind of finish out by talking a bit more about the rulers and authorities that are out there. Some are good, some are bad. but I wanted to finish it out with the security that we have in Christ by going to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, starting in verse 31. Romans 8, 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, darkness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are all being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray and then we're going to sing that song. Lord God, I thank you that we are beautifully and wonderfully made, that you have poured your heart into creation that we might enjoy it. Lord, even just with this accident, thinking about the vertebrae and the muscles in my back, Lord, they were wonderfully made. I ask that you put them back the way they were. Lord, thank you for the things that we get to enjoy, the night sky and the beauty of nature. Lord, all things have been created through you and for our pleasure, I would dare to say as well, Lord. You are artistically wonderful and wise and design things just right. Lord, I thank you for that, and I thank you that even as the world was corrupted by sin, you are planning to set it right, and that you have sent your Son in your love to redeem your creation for your pleasure and for ours. May you be glorified forever. Amen. Any thoughts on that before we sing this song real quick? Yes, sir.
As is known by some, I used to deal a lot with Jehovah's Witnesses before we moved up here. And one of the main issues there is the deity of Christ.
Right.
And of course, one of the main issues there is he'll come creating all things. And so your verse there in John says, all things came into being by him. Without him, not anything was made.
Yeah.
The Greek there is very adamant. I mean, it's like it's almost shouting at you. Not even one thing was made that he, the Word, didn't make. So that has to include himself.
Right.
Because he was one thing. And they use Colossians there, he's the firstborn of all creation. Say, oh, see, he was the first thing that was made by Jehovah. And so I love it because studying this, the Greek so many times comes in and it just, there's no wiggle room. I mean, this is what it says. And I love that one part. Not even one thing was made that he didn't make. So, anyway,
thank you.
My mind for you.
All right.
I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor life, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.